All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 8 tonight. This is going to be a little different. I'm going to veer off of the Wednesday night topic here tonight for a few minutes, but it's just a very simple little thought. We could make much more of it out of the scripture than what I'm going to tonight, but it's just, I just want to get this across to you, and maybe it'll help you. It helped me to see this. All right, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, let's read that. It says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now I think I mentioned this verse Sunday, and talking a little bit, but I'm not going to preach about what I talked about then. The thought I want to get across tonight here and talk about is, wherever Jesus went, somebody came out of the woodwork looking for God. Somebody came out looking for help everywhere he went. Same with all the rest of them. And it's the same with us. That's what I want you to get tonight. God's got people everywhere. And there are people everywhere that are needing God and searching for God. And we just miss them if we're not careful. If we're not looking. If we're not praying. If we don't have a burden. And if we're not concerned and we're not looking for them, we miss them. Let me read you a couple more verses in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says this, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. He said, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Did you ever think about that verse? God don't look at things like we do. We just look at what's here, we consider what we see is real. We're not looking into the future by faith. You know, I never will forget preaching to that bunch of men down there at the mission that time years ago down here at Poplar Bluff. And I remember what I preached on, everybody is somebody. Yes. And that we'd been preaching about Joseph and how that Joseph spent all those years in Potiphar's house, in prison, and nobody knew who he was. He was just a nobody, a slave, a prisoner. And they had no idea who he was, who he was going to be. And that's how it is with us. We just look at people and they're just as trees walking. We don't look into the future. We don't see anything. We have no hope, really. We don't exercise it for people. This room tonight, what do you think the future holds for everybody in this room?
No idea.
There's so many stories. If you read, you can read all kinds of stories behind some of the great people that have lived through the years, great Christians, and how they came about. And my, it's amazing. I want to read another verse here. John chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus said, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd." There's a lot of different applications for that. Maybe Jews and Gentiles, you know, maybe that's, but maybe more than that. It applies. Everything the Lord said applies in a number of ways. In other words, Jesus said, "I have people you don't know anything about." All right. People of God can be found everywhere on this earth. Do you realize that? It's always been that way. No matter where Jesus went, he encountered both Jews and Gentiles who believed and worshiped God. This centurion came out. That's a Roman. He's a soldier. He's a commander in the Roman army. He's a centurion. He's got at least 100 men under him. And he's a godly man, seeking God. What about Cornelius? What was he? He was a Roman centurion. A righteous man. But he wasn't saved. Get that? You know, that's important. But he was seeking after God, and God made sure he heard the gospel. Had to go get Peter and drag him over there to preach to Cornelius and his household. I mean, nobody was off limits. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but no matter where he went, he encountered both Jews and Gentiles who believed and worshiped God. What about that woman of Canaan? Brother Adam preached about here a week or two ago. We could turn to a number of New Testament scriptures that show clearly people just coming to him who had no right or no place, but they still found mercy and compassion and help and forgiveness and salvation. Jew or Gentile, didn't matter. No matter where we go on this earth, now we can still find people of God there. We can go to the darkest places on this earth, and there will be some there that still love and worship God. Right. You can go to North Korea, and you can find Christians there. You can go to China, and you can find Christians there. You can go to Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan, and you can find Christians there. Yes. Ain't that something? No matter where you go. I mean, people seek after God.
Yep.
Not all of them do. Some do. No, whether their government allows it or not. It doesn't matter which country you go to in this world. There will be people there that seek after and that worship God. Whether they can worship in the open freely or whether they have to hide and do it in secret, they'll be there. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. They'll be there. Whether it's a Muslim country or a Buddhist country or a pagan or a godless, atheistic country, there's going to be people of God there. Always going to be. Now, I'm making the point. We find people of God in the highest and the lowest places on earth. You can find them in king's palaces. The household of Caesar. All the saints salute thee, especially those of the household of Caesar. Ain't that something? Even back then. In Caesar's household. You wouldn't think you'd find Christians there, would you? They were there.
Yes, sir.
We find people of God in the highest and lowest places. You can find them in the government headquarters. You can find them in rich people's houses. You can find them in the factories and the fields and the mines and the fishing boats. You can find Christians. You can find them in the prisons. And you can find them in the nursing homes.
Yes.
And you can find them in the hospitals. You can find them among the homeless that live under the bridges and on the streets and in the offices of doctors and businessmen. Do you know that? Do you know that? Or do you look at people who live in such circumstances and discount them all as nothing? Better not do that. Lazarus laid at the rich man's gate, remember? Full of sores. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his wounds. But Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died also, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And why did that rich man want Abraham to send Lazarus to tell his brothers about this awful place? He knew. Because Lazarus had told him. And he wouldn't listen. You can find them among policemen. Brother Kenny had that wreck. And remember, he told about one of the officers that took care of the wreck was a young man who was a Christian. Yep, you can find them among the soldiers. You can find them driving trucks up and down the road. Now, not all of them that have Jesus on their truck are really Christians, but there are some who are.
Yes, right.
I know some.
Yep, right.
I'm old enough to remember, you know, there's truck drivers, there's delivery men, but I'm old enough to remember, I'm talking about God being in all places, and God always is faithful to His name is exalted no matter what. I'm old enough to remember when the astronauts went to the moon the first trip, and when they came around the moon, that astronaut reading out of the King James Bible.
Yep.
And the whole world listening. Over a billion people were listening as he read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth."
Yeah.
I mean, say, well, he's a heathen. Well, I don't care. It ought to thrill your soul that the Word of God was involved in even that scene. Would it be now? Well, of course not. But that was 1968. That was another world and another generation. That was on Christmas Day. No dispensation changes this fact. You hear me? The Gentiles came to Jesus and found mercy and forgiveness and healing and salvation, even though he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That Canaanitish woman came to him and he wouldn't even speak to her at first. But she got an audience, didn't she?
Yeah.
Finally, at the end, he didn't pay any attention to any dispensational lines or anything. "Oh woman, great is thy faith."
Mm-hmm.
Neither did Cornelius in the matter of Cornelius. Neither in this matter. They say, you know, I read where some of them say that for the Jews, he went in person to them, like the blind and the lepers and all of that. But if it was a Gentile, he just sent word. But he said right here, he said, "I will come and heal him."
Yeah.
And the centurion said, "I'm not worthy for you to even come under the roof of my house. Just speak the word. It's all I need you to do." The Gentiles came to Jesus. Naaman came to Elisha under the old covenant and found healing and help from God. Remember that? Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that little maid that was in that worked in Naaman's household as a servant? Remember that?
Yes, sir.
Told him about that prophet in Israel,
yeah,
that could help him. If he'd get to where God was, God would help him. In Syria, a foreign land, God's always got his witnesses. God's got his people everywhere. Just need to get that in your mind. The queen of the south came to Solomon. Where was she from? Come on! Y'all ain't that ignorant of the Bible. Where did the queen of the south come from? Ethiopia. What would that have made her? Well, a Gentile, yes. And the descendants of Ham.
Yes.
But Noah said that they would dwell in the tents of Shem.
Yeah.
So there was a way for them to.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. And they came. She came from far to see what God had done in Israel with Solomon. And she was welcomed in. And showed everything. Remember, she said, "All that I'd heard and the half was not told." And then in this same scripture here, this same chapter, I think Jesus said, "A greater than Solomon is here." I may not be in the same chapter. We've been reading in Matthew. And so anyway, this fact that I'm trying to present to you here about God's people being everywhere, that ought to be something that's foundational to us in this generation, as we preach the gospel in this last generation before Jesus comes. We need to understand this. We're not alone. And you're never alone. When you go to town, when you get out in public, remember, you're not the only one, Elijah.
Right.
You're not. It's not just you. There's other people that love God. There's other people that know God. And there's other people that are worshiping God.
Sure.
Faith will cause us to look for those people. You know, wherever we go, we ought to have it in our minds to look for them. Faith will cause us to look for them whether they've been saved yet or not. Now, what about that? Now, I'm not a Calvinist, but now I'm telling you, you need to have that kind of faith to look at people and realize they may be one of God's people. Not today. If not today, maybe tomorrow. Maybe 10 years from now. I dare say, I don't know about all the rest of you, but if anybody would have seen me 50, 40 years ago, you wouldn't have thought I was one of them. But I'm glad somebody believed.
Yes.
I would. We should realize that we're never alone, but always have some brother or sister near. Another point to consider here. And this is going to be a short message tonight. No laughter. Is this. Another point we need to consider is that circumstances don't prevent us from being a Christian no matter what.
That's right.
So you can't excuse yourself because of your job. Or what country you live in, or your personality, or your raising, or anything. We can claim no excuse for failing to worship and serve God that has to do with where we live, where we work, where we go to school, where we go to church, who our family is, what kind of government we live under, or how hard our life is. None of that will hold any water, because you can find Christians anywhere, in any situation, in any kind of circumstances in this world. You still find God's people. So, we got no excuse. Nothing will excuse us about our circumstances, our job. What do we got to do? God's people are found everywhere and in every situation, and so there's no excuse. We can be faithful and true Christian no matter what our circumstances are. That's what we're called into this world to be. That's right. There are Christians in this world who worship and serve God without a church building to meet in. Now we're talking about our circumstances here and this little old house. And do you realize there's... And if we sell this, we ain't going to have any place to meet. And that concerns us. Well, okay, I understand. Concerns me too. But I mean, it's not. That's not the main thing. And that's not what it's all about. If we have to meet out under a tree, we're still a church.
Amen.
And we're still God's children. There's Christians around this world who don't have a building to meet in.
That's right. Yes, yes, sir.
And in Hebrews 11, where we're fixing to get, you know, in Sunday mornings, Lord willing, but they dwelt in caves and dens of the earth.
Yes.
But they were faithful anyway.
Amen.
They were God's children. He said, of whom the world was not worthy. God don't look on people in their bad circumstances as lower or more worthless or less esteem. No, sir. It's how faithful they are to Him. There are Christians that don't have any place to meet. And they worship and serve God anyway, while they're chased and hunted like animals by the devils that are in the high places of their country. You ever wonder and think, you ever read anything about like North Korea and what it's like to be a Christian there? They find out you're a Christian, they'll kill you.
Yep.
Or they'll put you in a labor camp and starve you to death.
Yes, sir.
And I've just read about some of the horrible things they do, and it's to be a Christian, what it costs. Don't have a church to go to. If they meet with other Christians, it's just a few, and it's in secret. And China, same deal.
Yep.
There's big churches over there, but I guarantee you those big churches are not the real churches. No, sir. No. I saw a video here, it's been 2-3 years ago, but they took some Bibles into a Chinese. They were a bunch of Christians meeting in this dark place, but they gave them Bibles. You remember seeing that? And how they all cried and wept. Kissed the book. Yeah. Then you can't be a good Christian because of your job or the people you live with. Or... No. Nope. Not true. There are Christians who sit in prisons. It's hard for some people to believe, but you better believe it.
Yes.
You know, Ryan and Sarah were going into prison until all this stuff happened. There's, Ryan has been quite a, for a few years. And you know, that's, and Brother Kenneth Avery. You know, they all going down there to them prisons and stuff. And I'm telling you, it just, you know, they say it's just amazing. And I used to go to jail years ago. I mean, that's been a long time ago, but I'd go to jail every week, and that was some of the best times we ever had in the jail. Well, are they fake? No, they're not. Some of them are. Yeah, they're just kind of like people who come to church, you know.
Yep.
Some of them are real and some of them are phony.
That's right.
Yep.
But they're there. They're in prisons. They're in hospitals. They're in nursing homes. You ever meet any Christians in a nursing home, Esther?
Oh, yes.
They're not all Christians.
No.
But once in a while, you see the reality of it. Yep. I keep losing my place. But they're in a hospital, prison, nursing homes. No way to attend church services or get out and go anywhere. They can't even go to the store. They can't go anywhere. But yet they still find a way to read their Bible, to pray, worship God, and tell others of God's blessings. Ain't that something? I wonder, I mean, ask yourself this tonight. Examine yourself and just see what you think about yourself. How would you be in that situation? Is what you got tonight in your soul sufficient to carry you through situations like that? Some people can't, you know, if they miss church two or three times, they're plumb backslid, you know. I mean, they just get so cold and, you know, all this stuff that's happened this year. And we miss very few services. But just missing a service is just like, oh, you feel so bad. Feel like you just missed something. Something's been taken from your life. Think about just living that way from now on.
Oh, no.
Can't go to church. Would you still make it? Would you still have a sweet spirit? Would you still have a burden for people? Would the Lord still be the first thing in your thoughts? Would you still have that hunger for righteousness? And that other people would come to know the Lord? You know, all through this part of the country years ago, I mean, I've known a lot of old people, and that when they grew up, they only had church like once a month. They had a circuit preacher that had come through. A lot of churches just had church once a month. The preacher would come through on one weekend a month, and they'd have church Saturday night and Sunday afternoon before he rode off. But that's all they got for a month. And they made it. Better than people are making it now. Spiritually, I'm talking about. So, there are Christians that work alongside the most ungodly people in the factories and the schools and the stores and other places of business, but they keep themselves pure and unspotted from the world. Yeah. You don't work around the best people, do you, Gary? I don't imagine you do either, brother. I don't know what your situation is there, but I know when you work with other people in this world, you're going to be around ungodly people. You're going to hear their language. You're going to hear their filthy talk and their blasphemy and their profanity. Lots of Christians have to work around that and be around that. If you're a real Christian, you can keep yourself pure in all of that. Amen. A lot of people don't. A lot of people just fall in with them. But I just believe the Holy Ghost is living in you. I think you got something that's in you that's greater than he that is in the world. And I think you can overcome. I believe whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Yes, sir.
There are Christians who are in positions where they have some influence over those or with those who sit in high places of the world, who take those opportunities they're given to speak for God and truth. I think politics is all corrupt, and I think the government's all corrupt. But I, by knowing this fact that I'm presenting to you here tonight that's clear in the Bible, I believe there are some people there.
Yep.
They hear. The president hears.
Yes, that's right.
Those low-down congressmen hear. They're faced with it. God's got His people in this world.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yes. Amen.
And we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference.
Yes, sir.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's Christians in the airplanes in the sky and on the ships in the sea, in the submarines beneath the sea. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Riding on trains and driving on the highways and cars and trucks. You get out there on the interstate with all that traffic, do you even think about them? Maybe being Christians, any of them? Or are they just all the enemy? Competitor. We do get like that, don't we?
Yes.
We forget that we're among people. Man, I wish I could make that. Wherever there are people, there'll be some who'll seek after the true God of heaven and His righteousness and who will worship Him. I quoted this a while ago, but in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. I mean, that was back in the beginning of the church age. And Paul already had some people, some brethren in Caesar's household. Wonder if Caesar knew that. How did the Romans treat Christians? How did they accept them? Oh, not very well. Not very well. They were the ones who crucified Christ. I mean, they're the ones who did it. You know, they drove the nails. They sent forth the sentence. I believe they're the ones that executed Paul. And all of the disciples. Yeah, well, anyways, even being in a lukewarm apostate church, listen to me, is not an excuse for not being a true Christian.
True.
You can be faithful to God even if you're in a situation like that. I believe that.
Yes.
I've told people, you know, because I hear from a lot of people from all over the country, and they always tell me, well, you just don't have a church to go to around here. Well, there's churches everywhere.
That's right.
What would you do? What would I do? I'd go to church.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't believe you ought to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, right, as the manner of some is. Because I believe it's a sin.
Right.
I believe you ought to be in church.
Right.
You can make it, even in an apostate church, a lukewarm church. Where did Jesus go? Where did Paul go when he walked into town? Where'd he go? Right straight to the synagogue. Yep, he sure did. And he didn't go in there and get brainwashed by them. He didn't go in there and get talked out of it by them. He went in there, and before it was over, there was a riot. And some of them believed, and the rest didn't. And he always came away with the people of God. See? Jesus said to him, he said, where was it? I read it in the beginning here. Hang on a second. There it is. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak. There's a message right there, ain't it?
Yes.
Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Nobody's going to stop you, because I've got people here that you're going to preach to, and they're going to get saved. All right. You can still be faithful to God even if you're in a church like that. You got to simply read and study your Bible and let that be your guide instead of the false teachers you're forced to sit under. I've had to sit in churches where I didn't agree with hardly anything they said. But I still sat there. I respected the rightful authority and the position and all. I didn't go in there and just, you know, throw a fit and cause a riot. But I had to endure it. It was good for me. Nothing will make you study, and nothing will make you get your self grounded good better than being challenged by about what you believe.
Yes, sir. Sure.
We all will be surprised in the end by who ends up being one of God's children. And I'm not one of these who's saying that the drunks and the harlots and everybody's going to be in heaven and it's going to be the church people's going to hell and all the sinners are going to heaven. No! But I'm telling you, it's going to be a surprise for us. I was telling her, I think I told Dad, but the other night I seen somebody on Facebook that I knew years ago. And I knew his family and went to school with him. Well, he had two sisters, and one of them was she was not a very nice girl. And the other one was a church girl. She went to church, wore her dresses. I mean, she was just fine. But that was 45 years ago. You want to know how they are now? They've swapped places. The good girl's terrible. Total reprobate. And the other girl is talking about God and heaven and praying. And you ever wonder what Jesus is talking about when he said many of the first should be last, many of the last that are last should be first? Spurgeon said the wheel turns. What's on the bottom ends up on the top eventually. And it's kind of like that. Listen to this. Down in verse 11 and 12 of Matthew here. Same context. Jesus is still talking just about the centurion here. He said, I have not found so great a faith in all Israel. And then he said, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what he's saying there? He came unto his own and his own received him not. That's what he's saying. God chose Abraham and his seed and Israel, and they rejected. And so they turned to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were glad. Because, and Simeon talked about it, you know, the light to the Gentiles. That's what he's saying right there. The ones who had the first opportunity and the ones who God offered it to rejected. And the ones who had no hope and who sat in darkness, they saw a great light. And I'm just telling you, that's just the way it is. We're poor judges of how everything's going to turn out. We look at people now, and I can remember so many people that I've known through the years and sat in church all dressed up and just looking just, oh, I mean, picture perfect. They learned the language, and they could talk the talk. And I've seen them go completely to the bottom. But I've also seen some of the worst kind of human beings on the planet get saved.
Yes.
And changed.
Yes.
And stick.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
So always remember that. Next time you go to Walmart, you're looking at all them crazy, weird people. Remember. Next time you see somebody that's all tattooed and pierced and at the end of everything, think of the maniac.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Think of the lepers. Think of the blind men. Think of the kind of people that Jesus rescued. not many wise, not many noble, and all.
Yeah.
No, they come from the bottom most of the time. Look for God's people everywhere.
Sorry.
Look for those that are already God's people and look for those who are not. If you'll start looking at people like that and being aware like that all the time, you know, we might see some great things happen. You know that?
Yes.
That's
right.
Right.
It's so true.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, amen. All right, done. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Word of God and the truth and, Lord, the reminder. Lord, we need to care about people and we need to have a burden. We shouldn't be so callous and blind and so preoccupied with ourselves and our own business and our own cares and the vain things of life. Lord, help us to look out there and realize what is really happening here. That people are perishing. And other people just need help and fellowship. And Lord, help us to seek one another out. And help us to look for those that you came to seek and to save. Lord, help us to be busy about this business and not careless. Pray you'd set our hearts on fire and remove the coldness and the apathy that's there. And help us to care because time's wasting. And the night's coming. And we have loved ones who are lost. And Lord, we sure need to see some things happen. And Lord, I believe that if we'd care about those that are around us, that you'd see after those that are away from us, that are out of our reach. And Lord, I pray that you would. Please bless the message to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.